So this intro serves as that, an introduction to go over a little bit, kind of get ourselves in the mood, you could say, in the dispositions for our annual Triduum. I will go over briefly some practical things, and then the second half of the intro, I will give the first content for the Triduum. But I wanted to go over a few things, a few recommendations. Patricia helped put together the folder for you, the spiral bound folder, and I put in materials here for you, not expecting that you would read everything necessarily. There's probably maybe even more than that's realistic. It's supposed to be complementary materials. Most of it is extra according to the themes, the theme of the retreat, of the Triduum. So if it's helpful, great. But if you don't read something, you're not going to miss something essential. It's a means to the end to facilitate your personal encounter with God on your retreat. Okay? But it is organized according to basically four parts. And if you've done the spiritual exercises before or many times, maybe from the titles, you can see that in general, the theme for the Triduum is going to focus more on the fourth week of the spiritual exercises. Okay? So that's the resurrection, the ascension, and Pentecost. Okay? So the content is more of fourth week. But I wanted to highlight from the very beginning that I think I counted 16. I think there are 16 here, maybe. I think maybe you were 20 altogether, whatever. How many? 16, 19, or 20. There are that many retreats going on. It's not just one retreat that we're all participating in. There's 16 or 20 individual retreats. So with that, what I mean, I think you can have a good retreat if you are paying attention, as best you can, right? You're paying attention to the Holy Spirit. He's the author of our retreat. He's the author of our spiritual life. We do not know how to pray as we ought, right? The Spirit prays in us. If you're attentive to the Holy Spirit in your retreat and you follow His lead, you will have a good retreat. So by that, I mean, when you come here or we're in the chapel and there's preaching going on, pay attention, take notes. But where you find resonance or where you find conversation happening, that's where you should stay, even if the group in our preaching, we've moved on to a different theme. So in other words, when the Holy Spirit is active and when you are active in your prayer, stay there until it stops being active. In other words, don't turn the Holy Spirit off. Don't turn the volume down if He's talkative. How many times do we complain about not hearing God? When He's talking, sometimes we are the ones turning off the sound, right? We're moving along. So I want you to feel free that we come here as a group, we're going to give content, take notes. But if something from yesterday or the last meditation was still resonating with you in your personal prayer, you should go back to that. And you can trust, you've taken some notes, there's some content here for guidance. When that conversation kind of ends, you can go back and follow. But I wouldn't want anyone to inadvertently shut off the Holy Spirit because, well, we moved. We moved to part three. And even though that was a great meditation, I was still going, well, I have to move. No. I would like you to really have the freedom, and you could say give yourself the permission to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. If He's talkative, stay there. And if He's still talking and I've moved on in content, when you go back to your personal prayer, you pick up where you left off until it kind of ends. And you'll have a good retreat. As Pope Benedict of Happy Memory said to the question, how many ways are there to God? Talking about the spiritual life, prayer. He said, well, as many as people, as individuals. Because for Christians, right? I know I'm speaking to the choir, but for Christians, prayer is not a technique. It's a relationship. So prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. His side of the conversation is really good. It's the best part of it, right? So when he's talkative, even on retreat mode, go back to where he's still talking, and you'll have a good retreat. Does that make sense? Yeah. So take notes. Yeah, if you're a good note taker, you got it. But if yesterday's or last night's or this morning's meditation is still lively for you, that's where you need to go. And don't move yourself too quickly if the Holy Spirit's still talking. Okay? So no matter what happens in the dynamic here, it's really your personal conversation that is the most important thing. Okay? If you've seen in the schedule, I don't know you. Father, we had like one meeting by Zoom to ask a couple questions, but I don't really know you. Father didn't give me a lot of specifics. He just trusted, you know, we want this. We want to deepen our relationship with our Lord. He told me what you did last year a little bit. But he gave me the freedom to pray and ask the Lord what he wanted me to give you. And I will continue doing that the entire time. I always ask, Lord, give me words they need to hear. I don't know them. So I've created in the schedule a lot of personal space for your personal prayer. So what I suggest, I'm assuming many of you have done many spiritual exercises and many terms of renewal. So you know what's going to happen. I assume everyone here has a prayer life, you know, and wants to go deeper. We can be the most intelligent, most holy person and doing retreats all our lives. And there's still more of God to receive. We'll never exhaust God. So there's still more to receive. So I'm assuming, especially if you've been in Reagan Christie for a while, you'll be doing silent retreats or spiritual exercises retreats for a while. A retreat that gives you more personal space is more appropriate to where you are spiritually anyway, versus a lot of preaching and a lot of a regimented schedule. So what we're going to do is when I'm giving you content, it is not really part of your personal prayer time. Your personal prayer time starts when I shut up. So, right? That's the better part of the conversation is when I stop, just being the instrument, and then you and the Holy Spirit continue one-on-one. Okay? So that means, how much time should I pray, Father, when you stop talking? You know, by now, you can make that call. You can make that call. And Mandy, if you have a prayer routine that you're praying an hour every day, and it's just the normal, it's not a big lift anymore because it's your normal, okay? So if you want to pray an hour in the morning, an hour before lunch, an hour after lunch, an hour midday, an hour after, you do that. If your prayer times are a little shorter, that's okay. You need to go outside if the weather permitting, you know, and walk around and pray walking, that's fine. I didn't put a rosary on there, a group rosary or a group Stations of the Cross for that same reason, to let the personal space have more importance this time. You can pray your rosary if you want to. You can pray your Stations of the Cross if you want to, as you wish. Personally, you know, but not in a group. Okay? It's also meant, our yearly retreats are also meant to help us grow, to stretch us, right? It's, you know, assuming that we all want to be holy, and we want to be saints, and when we say yes to follow our Lord, it's with his very words reminding us this life is not easy. It implies cross, abnegation, persecution sometimes on the outside, right? It's not easy. So a yearly retreat is meant to stretch us spiritually, you could say, so that we keep on growing and keep on following him. I would like you to be able to enjoy getting away for Thursday evening to Sunday lunch, you know, have someone else prepare meals for you, have someone else clean up after the meals for you, and enjoy that and relax so you can concentrate on the better part of the conversation. So I'm encouraging you to start off the retreat and during the retreat in a healthy way of relax. That doesn't mean laziness. That means I'm not going to work hard. That means I'm relaxing with our Lord. And when we are relaxed in a healthy way, we're actually more receptive. So, for example, if you've been in Reagan and Christie a long time, you've heard many times, I'm assuming, a talk on the program of life. So I'm not going to really talk about that specifically too much. You know how to do that. You can do that in your personal time. You can do that with your spiritual direction. You want to consult here, you can do that too. We have that. But I would encourage you not to worry about that. Like, I have to get it done. I would encourage you to be relaxed enough to be receptive to the Lord's side of the conversation. Okay? And we'll get into that a little bit more. I didn't print out materials that I think everyone has, because you bring your Bibles with you, or we have them on their phones now. You have your morning prayers. You have your, I won't make eye contact with anybody. You have your Regnum Christi statutes and rule of life and all that stuff that you know by heart. You have all that. So I didn't print that out. I just printed out extra supplemental materials. But I'm assuming that you have your Bibles with you and maybe your catechism, because this will be a retreat that's heavy on scripture. But it's not a spiritual exercises. Okay. It is going to focus on the same content of week four, more or less. But if you've been at Regnum Christi a long time, maybe you remember that there used to be a pretty stark difference between spiritual exercises and Triduum of Renewal. And back in the heyday, there were bigger differences. We'll talk about that in a little while. But the Triduum of Renewal is meant also to help the RC members keep on being renewed in the spiritual life and in the spirituality of Regnum Christi. And spiritual exercises are spiritual exercises. They're the same dynamic, the Ignatian retreat, focused on the life of Christ, that doesn't change. You could focus on different parts of the exercises over a weekend or something. Yes, absolutely. But they're actually two different things. Okay? I put in here a couple questionnaires that I wanted to point out to you. Oh, maybe I forgot that one questionnaire. I will give you some points for another questionnaire later. If you've done the spiritual exercises often, or if you've done the 19th annotation version of the exercises, I forgot to put one questionnaire. I'll walk you through it later. I do recommend the daily practice on retreat, whether it's a spiritual exercises retreat or another form of retreat, where you gather the graces every day. So that would mean towards the end of the day, you take a few minutes, 10 minutes more or less, where you ask the Holy Spirit to highlight for you the major moments of encounter with God during the day, the major movements of the Spirit during the day, the major graces that happened, and you gather them. So it's relishing what happened so that we can assimilate the graces given. I will walk you through that a little bit later as an example, but on a retreat mode, and hopefully this is for some of you part of your normal, after every meditation, every conference, every personal prayer time, take a minute or two to examine your prayer. And maybe you do this a daily basis if you pray a meditation every day. So that's a brief examine of what just happened in the meditation, in my prayer. What just happened? So what were the major movements in my prayer? Was my prayer more of my head or more of the heart? Did I receive any insight? So of the head, did the Holy Spirit give me a new insight? So an understanding of something? Was my prayer more of the heart? So that is the affective world, the feelings. Did memories come up in my prayer that I just finished? A memory came up. I pay attention to that. Sometimes a conviction, maybe not a memory, maybe not a visual, maybe not a feeling, but a deeper conviction of the will. So our Lord can speak to us in all of our faculties, our memory, our imagination, the heart, our will, So we pay attention to what just happened, and you kind of write it down, you gather it. You notice, we'll talk about this a little bit later, if in my prayer that just ended, I'm perceiving any resistance, so resistance in the sense of going against what God proposes, right? Was I resisting something he was proposing to me? Maybe the theme in and of itself. Maybe he was revealing to me something he wants of me, and I'm having like an aversion to that. Okay. Or maybe it's something in Father's preaching, my preaching, that hit wrong and it became a distraction. We're paying attention to what happened in the prayer time. If you do that every time you pray, a mental prayer, a substantial part of prayer, just take a little bit of an awareness, a glimpse, a photo of what happened. Over time, you become more, you could say, proficient in the ways that God works in you and how he speaks to you versus other, let's call them, voices speaking to you, our own natural, you know, fallen nature, the spirit of the world or the evil one getting there. And we become more familiar, right, with the voice of the Holy Spirit. If we don't take time to examine our prayer, okay, we could actually have a visitation that we're unaware of. God can show up and we don't even remember. We move on with the busyness of life. Or he shows up in a way that's so subtle that we don't give credit to it and we miss him, right? It's easier to give credit to the extraordinary things. You just cannot deny that was God. But the subtle, soft voice, right, sometimes, that just sounds like a good idea or sounds like my own creation, my own voice, I move on quickly, right? So a habit of taking time after every mental prayer time and doing a little bit of an examine, writing it down, pays off greatly. On retreat day, you do that at the end of the day too, of the whole day. Okay, this whole day that has went by, what are the major movements in my prayer and of God that happened? And I write them down. You might not understand everything, but that's kind of not the point. But you're first being aware of what's going on. And over time, understanding grows. The dots are connected, okay? So I'd invite you to do that every evening, maybe at the beginning of the holy hour that we have every evening. Do the examine of the day, about 10 minutes of that. Okay? Now, I also ask for your prayers for me, that I be open to the Spirit and docile to what he wants. Also pray. I'm going to use some technology. I'm very bad at this. I probably am traumatized. That's why I bring it up so much. So I hate technology. And so pray that it works, you know. And people are praying for you. I've asked the RC members in Detroit to pray for you. And some of you know some of them there. Lisa Small, Mary knows Lisa. She's the RCD there, a consecrated woman. And I was just moved last summer from Raleigh, where I was living. So I'm still in touch with a lot of the RC members in Raleigh. And they are praying for you, too. We're a spiritual family. Before I go on to the official beginning of sort of content of the retreat, if you don't know, I'm Father Stephen Ellis. I am now the superior of the community in Detroit. For the last, I think, 12 or 13 years before that, I was Reverend Christie Chaplain in different areas, in Louisiana, in Washington, D.C. Then we formed our new community in Raleigh there until last summer. I did not know Reverend Christie when I joined the movement or the Legion. I didn't know I was joining a larger spiritual family when I joined the Legion back in 93. But I fell in love with the movement. Theoretically, when I heard the bigger picture and was explained the bigger picture of our spiritual family, I loved it. And I really began to love it when I began to work with Reginald Christie. And that really started in Louisiana. A little contact when I was in Canada, mostly in Louisiana. When I felt the calling to priesthood, it was when I was beginning in ninth grade in high school. I had a desire come over me to prepare myself well for confirmation. I went to public school. And out of the blue in Lent in ninth grade, I began to feel a desire to receive the sacrament of confirmation well, and I realized in my little old town, the bishop wasn't coming out until I was a junior. I had to wait 2 more years. And so I decided that it was Lent. I decided this year to help myself prepare well for confirmation, even though I have to wait, I am going to do something more serious than just giving up gum, you know, for Lent. So I began to, I pray the rosary every day. I began to fast seriously more than just giving up gum during Lent. And then I began to read the lives of saints to try to find a saint for confirmation. My family is cradle Catholic, practicing. We never missed Mass. But we didn't do anything outside of that. We didn't even pray over before meals as a family. My mom would say, my dad would say, say your prayers before you go to bed. But they never tell me what to say, you know. I had a conviction, especially through the example of my dad, that the faith was serious. And I had a conviction about the Catholic faith being the true faith. But that was it. But when this kind of desire came over to prepare myself for Lent, for confirmation better, starting in Lent, about halfway through Lent, another very weird desire came over me, interest, and that was towards priesthood, religious life. Because, we were talking about St. Francis in the dining room a little earlier, in the 100th anniversary, right? When I was reading the lives of the saints, St. Francis' life really stood out to me. And it stood out to me not because of poverty, not because he liked the animals. In the books I read about him, it didn't say that anyway. But anyway, it was his radical availability to serve the Lord and build the church. And I saw him in my simple mind's eye as like a soldier who could be dropped anywhere, boing, in the middle of darkness. And from there, he'd radiate the gospel. And that kind of soldier-esque feeling was with me throughout my high school years, 2 years in the college, where I was really wrestling with this idea. Because I wanted to have a large family. I wanted 10 children. I have one younger brother. We're 7 years apart. Hated that kind of small, boring family life. I loved big family, noisy. We're English, so it's boring. Everyone's nice to each other, but we... But I loved my friends who were Italian or Irish. They were so loud and fighting all the time. I thought it was so much fun. said, I want to have a large family like that. Well, when that kind of desire came over me, there's a wrestling match going on. Because I was feeling this call, but I also felt the call to married life and having a large family. So fast forward, well, I'll tell you one funny story. I actually sent away information from the Franciscans. I can't remember which branch, the TORs, I think. I didn't tell anybody. A couple weeks later, I got a manila envelope in the mail by that thick. I took it. I was so excited. I went to my room, closed my door, ripped it open, started to read it. And then I was scandalized out of my mind. Because what they sent me was just the psychological interview. There were no pictures. There's no description of what their life is like. It was like nothing like that. And I wasn't an angel at 15, but I also had a, praise the Lord, a kind of a wholesome background and small town life. So I began to read all that stuff, and then I'm thinking, okay, you know, well, no. I didn't know you could do that. I don't know what that is, but so it scandalized me. And I began to associate my mind like, well, if that's the kind of people going into religious orders, I do not want anything to do with that. So I began to push it away. So fast forward, when I finally, in second year of college, realized our Lord was calling me, and I wanted to be a religious. I wanted that kind of availability and kind of the soldier kind of attitude to build the church. My parents moved into a new house. I bought them a gift of an image of the Sacred Heart for their new house. I had it sent home in my name, so they wouldn't open it by mistake. I got home for Christmas break. The package was waiting for me. I took out the image of the Sacred Heart, and underneath there was a magazine called Le Cristo. And in Le Cristo, simple 4-page, I don't think of the color back then. We had 92, come from a congregation called the Legionaries of Christ in a place called Cheshire, Connecticut. And in about 2 seconds, reading that, seeing the brothers, seeing pitchers, playing soccer, they had a cassock, They profess loyalty, the love for the Holy Father. Young, they look like normal guys. I said, that's it. I'm going to be in a place called Cheshire, Connecticut one day. I had a grace that came over me with conviction. It's that. I had never heard of the Legion at all. But what I saw in that picture, those pictures, and the simple description of the mission, that's what I had been desiring. And then when I was introduced to Regnum Christi, I fell in love with the larger picture of this spiritual family that's also on mission to build the church. So one of my favorite activities as a priest, actually, is doing what we're doing this weekend. It is helping Regnum Christi members continue the journey of the personal call of Jesus to grow in holiness, to help him build his kingdom in a variety of ways, because it comes through the personal gifts that he gives mostly to the laity, us too, but mostly to you, as out there in the world, changing the world for Christ's kingdom. And I realized, oh my goodness, you know, that desire that I had in my heart was a singular desire. There weren't two competing desires. The two loves really were one love. And the large family that I wanted, because I only had one younger brother, I realized, oh my gosh, I have many more brothers than I ever could have had, you know, my parents ever could have had. And then when I became a priest and began to serve in Regnum Christi in seminary, I worked first in the seminary, I also have a spiritual fatherhood that is fulfilled. They're serving many, many good people like you. And Lord, you know what you're doing, right? He does not plant desires in vain. So with that said, we are going to try to do the difficult thing now and use some audio visual. Who's not praying? Who's not praying? There we go. Okay. All right. And this is the first time I'm using this. For you, I'm sure, like, what's the big deal, Father? For me, it's a big deal. I was territorial secretary 2 times. Where you have to swim in all this technological world, where you file things, lose them, and then try to find them again for the territorial director. Okay, present. Okay, very good. So, we're beginning our Triduum of Renewal 2026. We could basically say, we are here, or we come every year, for this purpose, to hear the voice of God in my life, to hear it again, to be renewed in that, to continue following what he was doing all along, or to be refreshed in following what he was doing. Or some of you have come, right, for answers to specific questions, quandaries, sufferings, and clarity for confusion. You've come with some particular things to discern. So whether you are here because you want an answer to a certain question, very particular, of what you're going through right now, or whether you are here because you simply want more of Jesus in your life, a richer prayer life, more intimacy. That happens when we grow in our ability to hear the voice of God. So in the greater context of the Triduum, this will be the underlying theme, an underlying constant strand throughout the retreat, hearing the voice of God in my life. We remembered, spirituality means our response to God, especially when we went through our renewal, you know, in our crisis and stuff. The church taught us a lot. She took us by hand and really educated us. And spirituality really means the gift we have been given by God that we give back to the world. How we reflect something, some attributes, some way of life, some aspect of Christ's life, how we do mission, it's a gift. So our spirituality is a gift to the world, the church. And what is our spirituality? What is our focus in Reign of Christ? It's Jesus and the apostles. It's all about Jesus and his apostles. We focus on Jesus and how he formed disciples and made them into apostles. This is the core, the heart of who we are and our gift to the church. The heart of it is that. It's all about Jesus and him. Some of you, do you like The Chosen? Have you watched The Chosen? I think for some of us it resonates so strongly because they do a good job of that. Bring that aspect out of Jesus and the apostles. You know, they bring out the temperaments and the qualities, the background stories, and the realness of each of those apostles. And I think that's been given to us in our spirituality. It's like Jesus comes alive and the different apostles come alive. This is who we are. So when we go back to pray with this, reflect on it, study it, talk about it, we are nourished again. We're recharged. Our batteries are charged again. Jesus and his apostles. Where do we see the finished product of Jesus' formation of those apostles? As we study the Gospels, many of us use it every day for our meditation. And we've been like formed that and raised on that. That's beautiful. But Jesus himself said, a disciple is not above the teacher. So if we want to say, if we want to see the finished product, the apostle who's like all done, the apostle who has graduated from Jesus school, yeah, we don't see it in the Gospels. We see the mature apostle in Acts of the Apostles. Remember Jesus more than once in different ways, but he did tell them that. John recorded it. It was drilled deeply into John's brain and marked on his heart. You will do greater things, Jesus told him in the Last Supper discourse. He also said, remember, you will remember everything because the Holy Spirit will come and he will remind you of everything I've taught you. So when we're looking at a mature apostle, we're called to look at Acts of the Apostles. And we see students, novices, apostles on internship in the Gospels. Valuable life-saving lessons in the Gospels, obviously. I'm not trying to say Gospels are second class. No, no, no. I'm just saying, in our spirituality, it's all about Jesus and the apostles. The end product, the goal, is what we see in Acts of the Apostles. So that image to me is a visual of what we aim for on our yearly retreats. We should actually have in our mind, like the goal always present in mind. What am I aiming for? What is he calling me to the end? It's that in our spirituality. The apostle fully alive. The apostle has finished her 3 years. Jesus did it in 3 years. You know. He did a three-year program. But they got the fruits of his teaching when he rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and then asked the Father to send the Spirit. So that visual to me helps me keep in focus Jesus' goal for me, my holiness and mission. So that's a visual of what we'll be praying with. As I said earlier, content-wise, this is like week four of the exercises. So, taken from your rule of life, again, I'm not making eye contact. I know you got this memorized. You know, I know you read it every day or something like that. But just in case, number five says in spiritual practices, the spiritual practices of Reign of Christ members, recommended lay members of Reign of Christ, are means to help them grow in the relationship of love with Christ, With the help of their spiritual director, they gradually learn mental prayer and how to live the other practices recommended in the prayer book. As a privileged means to spiritual progress, it is recommended they participate yearly in spiritual exercises or a triduum of renewal. So there is a difference. Two different kinds of retreats. Spiritual exercises, the Ignatian exercises, a retreat based on the life of Christ, and then triduum of renewal. And again, if you've been in university a long time, you may remember there are different types of triduums of renewal. We had a triduum for a corporation, we had a triduum for second degree members, triduum for group leaders, team leaders, different formats. The format wasn't always the same. Sometimes there was more silence, sometimes there was less silence. Sometimes there was a guest speaker, sometimes there were small groups. Sometimes, you know. In our crisis, in practice, what happened was that in many areas, the distinction faded away. And we used the two terms interchangeably, yearly spiritual exercises, yearly silent retreat, or yearly term of renewal. But in practice, in most areas, what was happening was you were given spiritual exercises, and the term of renewal could have been one more extra day. But in practice, the content tended to be spiritual exercises. So what has happened in many areas through the renewal too, we've brought back that beautiful distinction. It stayed in spirituality. Doesn't mean everyone has to do both a year. Some people can't go away for two retreats a year. But there's a difference. So this one is going to focus more on triduum of renewal. It's still a silent retreat. Don't worry. It's still a silent retreat. But it's not spiritual exercises. Okay. Before we begin the first conference, which we'll actually have in the chapel, we'll use John 2, verses 1 to 11 as the content. Do you have any questions or comments or concerns? Okay. So for myself, what I'll do, I'll be available every evening. I'll be available for confession and spiritual direction on the retreat. As you go out this room here, to the left and to the right, sheep and goats, you choose. No. Going out this way to the right, it says library. That's the room I'll use to attend in spiritual direction. And I'll give Father Francisco the left side there, the left sitting room. Tomorrow morning, I'll have on the table here a sign-up sheet for my availability for spiritual direction. Okay, and you can sign up. And I'll put 30-minute slots, okay? And with this number of people, and Father coming as well for part of the treat, I think we can have enough availability so that you, if you wish, you don't have to, you can come more than once to spiritual direction. Okay, so in longer retreats, that's a very good thing to do and check in, you know, because really it's about checking in to help you on retreat follow the lead of the Spirit that's going on, what's going on during the retreat. So it's a spiritual direction, but it's not a normal spiritual direction. It's more of a retreat context spiritual direction, right? So I don't need to know all your background to give you adequate spiritual direction. What I would need is your kind of prep work of the gathering of the graces to help articulate where you perceive the Lord working in during the retreat so far to have a good spiritual direction. Okay. For confessions, we're not going to have sign-up sheets. Okay, one just for confidentiality, for confession, right, for the priest. You know, we shouldn't really have names behind the name of the priest of who's going to confession. So Father Francisco he'll let you know his availability when he comes. But for me, what I'll do every evening when I'm not preaching in the holy hour, I'll be available for confession. And it's just first come, first serve, okay? And actually, where would that be, Patricia? Where's a good place then for confession when we're in the chapel there?
think there's a confessional.
There's a confessional there?
Yeah, not a lot.
Okay. Yeah, because if it's up front, it can be a little distracting for having a Lord in adoration there. Okay, we'll figure it out. I'll let you know. Okay. For confession, first come, first serve. Okay, just and I will put the times I'm available for confession as a reminder, but you don't have to sign up. Okay, but for spiritual direction, sign up, and I think we could make it available so you could get spiritual direction at least twice, and maybe even once a day check in. Okay, bring your as you know that newbies. I was gonna say bring your Bible, bring your notebook to Mass, to adoration, but you don't know how to do that. Okay? Very good. Any questions? Okay, so what we'll do, we'll end here, and then some free time. If you need some free time before we go to the chapel for exposition, I will leave the first few moments of after exposition for your personal prayer, so your examine. Okay? Then I will give content for the evening meditation that could also serve as your personal prayer in the morning. Okay? Does that make sense? So let's end with a prayer as we're beginning to enter formally into the retreat. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, first I thank you for the beautiful gift of Regnum Christi and being called to be a part of this beautiful spiritual family. I thank you for the gift of being invited to preach this Triduum of Renewal for the women in the tri-state area. And I thank you for making it possible to come for each one of us here. I ask you, Holy Father, to send your Spirit upon all of us, and me included, so that we can be as much as possible detached from all the busyness that we have left behind and rest now securely in this beautiful center, to focus on you and what you want to do and what you want to talk about. Holy Father, please stir inside of us the Holy Spirit, who is our advocate. He's our counselor. He's our guide. He teaches us how to pray. Help us, Holy Spirit, have words to express what we perceive you doing. Help us, Holy Spirit, have the confidence and trust as your sons and daughters to express to God the Father, what we have in our hearts, the desires of our hearts, freely and confidently, as Jesus told us we can do. Holy Spirit, also please help us have ears to hear you by, through the scriptures, through the prayer, through the silence, through the preaching, through the music at lunch and dinner, through rest. We give you permission to speak in any way that you wish, because you are God and you use all things for the good. We also ask Mary, who was and is the spiritual director par excellence of these first apostles of the church. You taught them, Mary, how to pray, and you taught them how to perceive the voice of Jesus after he ascended into heaven. Mary, please accompany each one of us on this retreat as well and teach us once more how to perceive the voice of your Son within us. And you are also Queen of Heaven and Queen of Angels. So we ask you to please send down upon this retreat center during these days the angels under your command to do their due diligence to guard and protect us against the attacks of the evil one, and to guide us into faithful, zealous relationship with your Son. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.